everyone. Martin Zender here. You know, it's always a challenge to do this show on the road. But if you are looking at the studio cam right now, I'm not in my studio in Canton, Ohio. In fact, I am in... where am I? Where's the map? Where's Google Earth? Oh, yeah. I am in Pinehurst, North Carolina. Going to be doing the show from here for a little bit. I'm headed down south. I'm taking a road trip to visit the Saints and to hold meetings. So I'd like to announce to you the meetings. Make sure you know about these. If you can get to one of these meetings, I would like to see you. As you're listening to this, this Saturday, I am going to be at Orlando, Florida. In Orlando, Florida, you might say. That will be Saturday afternoon, October 17th. That'd be this weekend, wouldn't it? That'd be Saturday. I'd like to see you there. I have a contact for you if you would like to meet me, because I'd like to meet you. What am I going to do? I don't know. Hopefully they have a little wine there, because I'll drink some of that. But also I'm going to teach a little bit. And then we're going to have discussion and question and answer, and it's going to be a wonderful time. Gary and BJ Haight are very loving people. That's H-A-I-G-H-T, Haight. They have hosted a meeting there before, and it has always been chock full of spiritual truth, which is, yeah, come to think of it, I was teaching. That's why. Okay, October 17th again, Orlando, Florida. I want you to email or call Gary Haight, and his email address, he has given me permission to give this out to you, grh612@gmail.com. That's grh612@gmail.com, or you can call him, area code 352-321-2517. 352-321-2517. This isn't in Orlando proper, it's in Tavares, or as the locals call it, Tavares. I'm sorry to say that, but the locals pronounced it Tavares, as far as I know. T-A-V-A-R-A-S. You can Google that, and you can also write or call Gary. Now, the Saturday after that, on October 21st, I'm going to have a meeting in Birmingham, and I'd like you to be there. I'd like to meet you. You can contact Laura Johnston. She's the hostess with the mostest in Birmingham, and you will find her at her email address, wizchick62@yahoo.com. That's W-H-I-Z-C-H-I-C, wizchick62, six and a two, at yahoo.com. And we're going to have these meetings in her living room, just like at the Haight residence in Tavares. We're going to have the meeting in the living room. So these are going to be low-key affairs. Not a lot of, not a lot of production value. But we're going to be sitting around on sofas and chairs, things like that. And I will bring an extra bottle of wine to these locations, and that we may partake of the fruit of the vine and the fruit of the spirit. Now, when I left off, I got a nice studio here. Look at the digs. Look at these drapes. Can you see the grapes? The grapes. I got grapes on the brain. You see the drapes on the studio cam? Look at this. This is a nice place. All right. We're going to get into the details of Islam. I already told you about those wings. Once again, what did Daniel have to say about the leopardess? Four wings, four heads, and authority. Four wings. More wings than anything. The she-bear had no wings. That's Hinduism. The lioness had two wings, had a pair of wings. Vulture's wings only went so far and stopped. The leopardess, though, is not stopping yet. Islam is on the move, big-time militant religion, four wings. And I think we talked about that, but I'm reviewing it for you. It's so great to hear. A.E. Naukri in 1936, quote, "The swiftness with which Islam spread has, I suppose, no parallel among the religions. It may be that the evangel of Christ spread more rapidly and more generally in the early days of its dissemination, but that could not be counted a religion figured by a ferocious beast. This is. On the contrary, four-winged Islam was a militant, politically-minded religion soon after it began. Christianity was little more than a harmless lamb before the time of Constantine. This swiftness may account for the four wings of the leopardess." Yeah, Islam is still mobile, as we know. That's what he says in 1936. Yeah, boy, AEK, if you were live today, you'd see big time how swift Islam is. Now, the four heads of Islam. It has been supposed by other expositors that these four heads would possibly be four nations that contain the Islam religion. But as we know, Islam is making such inroads that they are this religion is taking over nations, parts of nations, then whole nations. They want to take over the whole world. At the time A. Enoch was writing this book, he writes here that he could have picked out four of the present places, then where Islam resided, which was, as he lists here, Algeria, Egypt, Syria, and Iraq, but he admits those would not include all Muslim nations and not nearly all the Muslim people. The number of Muslim nations has varied greatly from time to time. That's a quote from the book Concordance Studies in the Book of Daniel. Varied greatly from time to time. Indeed, it has. And how much varied is it today than it was in 1936? So the four heads really can't be the number of nations because this number is growing by the day. So it does seem better to seek for these heads in the four distinct orthodox schools of Islam. Now, the word head itself has become a figure for that which or the one who controls something. God is the head of Christ. For instance, Christ is the head of the man. Man is the head of the woman. So the head, let's just look at Christ and the ecclesia. Christ is in charge of the ecclesia. He's the head of the ecclesia. So we're better off looking for the four heads of Islam, not in the nations where it resides, but in those who control the religion. And within the religion, there are four heads, four predominating heads in the Arab world of Islam. These are Hanabali in Saudi Arabia, Hanafi in Turkey and in India, Maliki in North Africa and Upper Egypt, and Shafi in Southern Arabia and Indonesia. Now, according to the book, and I quote, these four divisions in their jurisprudence separate chiefly in regard to civil and religious law. So they all have some individual qualm about what laws you're supposed to follow, of course. Not even Islam is unified. Christianity sure as heck isn't. How many sects do we have in Christianity? Can't even count them anymore. And they're stable throughout most of their history. So that covers the four heads. The four wings, we got that. Four heads are the four distinct orthodox schools. Look this up on your own. There is a name for the knowers or the wise men in Islam. The Ulema. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. What do I know about this? Ulema. I don't know about the pronunciation anyway. These are the theologians of Islam. And you'll notice that in this religion, the knowers or these ulema, they have great authority. And they were at times in their history able to withstand civil power. That is the regularly constituted government. So the religion is such a strong force, and it's becoming this way in Christianity, such a strong force in Islam that the religious leaders are more powerful than the civil leaders, the presidents, or the prime ministers. And we see the Pope. People ask me about the recent visit of the Pope. I guess it's not so recent as I speak to you. I didn't want to talk on it then because, you know, I'm almost anti current events. People say, Martin, you need to do more on current events. No, I don't. I'm sticking to the scriptures. Other people can do the current event thing. Well, here's the thing. The Pope is unifying everybody. Everybody loved the Pope when he was here. They're falling all over the Pope. It's a Pope fest of love. And the liberals, conservatives, he's just a unifier. This is a horrifying thing. If you have to live through the combining of church and state, but it's a great thing if you're looking to get the heck out of this planet, because this is exactly what we're going to see. We're going to see the world become one under a common religious power. And so the Pope has great power. One of my friends came to visit me here. Two of my friends, Philip Garrison and Mr. Joyner. What's his first name? Oh, I can't think of it. Why do I do this to myself? Oh, I have a mental block. and he's going to be embarrassed because I can't think of his name, but I'm sure you it's a mental block. It doesn't mean I like Philip more than you. It's just that I have a mental block right now on your first name. You know why? Because I'm thinking of a football player that used to play for the Houston Oilers named Charlie Joyner. Or was he for the San Diego Chargers? Who's the Joyner? And I have his name in my mind, and so it's preventing me from coming up with Mr. Joyner's name. Anyway, I'll think of it. So the Pope is transcending. You know how you get a country hit that's a crossover hit? It's not only a hit on the country charts, but it crosses over to the rock charts. Okay, the Pope, Pope Frank, is a crossover hit. He's crossed over the religious boundaries. Some popes do this. Pope John Paul did this. He was a pop pope, right? A pop pope, populist pope. Try that on your pop filter. If I didn't have a pop filter, I'd be blowing minds right now. Populist pope. Well, this guy sure as heck is. Old Francis, right? So everybody loves him. He's a unifier. In fact, Philip Garrison sent me a video showing the head honcho Pentecostal guy. And of course, I can't remember his name either in Oklahoma. It doesn't matter because I don't want to bring these people attention. But they're saying the Catholic Church is starting to lower their bar and say, come on back home. Everybody come back to the Catholic Church. And this Pentecostal guy, Kenneth Copeland, that's the nut job's name. I'm sorry I called you a nut job. Sir, I meant to call you a religious lunatic. This guy is saying, hey, the Pope's cool. The Catholic Church is all right. We need to unify. We need to become one. And this is what Glenn Beck is saying also. And this is going to happen. And we see signs of it here. So these knowers of Islam, of one of these four Orthodox schools, they are able to withstand civil power, and they're doing that. Now, as I see my time is about running out, tomorrow I will give you a little more on Islam, and we will look at the perils of religion and politics being joined, and yet it's going to happen at the end of this eon with the wild beast and the harlot, and it's an amazing thing to see. We're going to see it. We're not going to see it because we're going to be snatched away. Don't let anyone talk you out of the fact that the body of Christ is not appointed to wrath or indignation. We are appointed to glory. And as a country will withdraw its ambassador from another country before it declares war on that country, so will God and Christ withdraw us, the ambassadors of peace, from a world on which they are about to declare war.